100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is your hour to ask your legal questions one at a time and get the answer you've been looking for. I'm joined in the studio with my buddy and co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Hello. Beautiful day in the neighborhood, as always.
Yes, it is. Folks, if you want to give David and I a call, all you got to do is grab your cell phone, pick up your finger, and punch up 215-263-1003. That brings you into the studio where you'll talk to our screener, Larry the screener. 215-263-1003 gets you in here. And once you pass through Larry, David and I will give you our best shot at whatever question you may have. 215-263-1003. I don't know, David, we've been doing this now for a few years.
Yes, we have. Seems like yesterday.
Yeah, it's like antiquity. it just goes on and on and on. You know, I watch Kyle's little goatee grow. I mean, it's taken 3 years and it's now about an inch. There you go.
From a young man to a young lad. Or a young lad to a young man, whatever it is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Watch him grow.
He's growing up. He's you know, those little fingers. He's moving the microphones. He's the reason we have sound.
He's the man.
He's the sound man. Yep. And you know, once he got out of prison, it's been all uphill since then. He's running that youth center and stuff, and
yeah, he does good work.
All right, David,
we have a caller already.
Folks, if you're listening, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Steven from Southwest Philly. Hey, Steve, welcome to Court Radio.
Well, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you. What's your...
My question is, my brother gets evicted from his apartment, from his house, and... his judgment is put on my credit. And my uno question is this a suable offense, and what can you do?
Well, it may be. It's interesting to see how it got on your credit, because you have different names, different social security, different dates of birth. So that's kind of a little bizarre. But here's what I would do. The answer to your question is I would write to a letter, one letter, okay, that explains this isn't me. That's not my debt. Here is my name and the last four digits of my social security number. And I would send that explanation by certified mail to all three credit reporting agencies, you know, TransUnion, Equifax, and then they must put that up on your credit file, and that will have almost an immediate effect in moving your credit score back up again and kind of avoiding the effects of that false credit report. Now, here's where the lawsuit comes in. If you do that and they don't do what they're supposed to do, which is put that up on your credit and take away the effects of that other illegitimate report, then I would say you might begin to put yourself in a position where you can bring a lawsuit if you can show damages. In other words, you have to be able to show, hey, I went for a mortgage, and because of that false report, my credit wasn't as good, and I didn't get that 3% mortgage. I got a 5% mortgage, and now you've got damages. You've got 2% of your mortgage is because of your brother's false report. But without damages, you don't have anything in the lawsuit world. You need both a negligent act and then some consequences from that. And so that's my advice. You got the whole story?
as bodacious as you can explain it.
Thank you, sire. Have a great day, and welcome back to Court Radio.
You're welcome.
All right, Stephen from Southwest.
Hey, Dean, are you were you a fan of the Sopranos, the show Sopranos? I know you were, right?
I loved the Sopranos.
Can you believe James Gandolfini?
You know what shocked me, David? That he's our age.
I know. Well,
I always thought of him as being like a decade or more older.
It's funny you mention that because that's the two people I've talked to about this just in passing, and they both said the same thing. They thought he was like 65 years old or
right.
something.
Right. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess, I don't know. He's a big guy.
So the weight?
Well, everything. The big guy that he played, someone who was more an authority, so I guess you put some age on that person.
Right.
You know, who knows?
And The Sopranos was, what, like 10, 15 years ago when it began? So he was in his 30s when it started,
early
40s.
When you look at, now because he passed, they show like the past episodes and stuff. When you look at pictures of him when he started, he looked so much younger than when I watched The Sopranos from the beginning. And from the beginning, I had the thought that he was older. But now when you look back at those pictures and see how he aged, you realize he really did look young when he started. He really
Well, anyway,
did.
It was a horrible shame. 51 years old and a wonderful actor. I saw him not only in The Sopranos, obviously, but I also saw him on Broadway. And he really was a very fine actor. And
he also did a lot for the troops, apparently. He was very, involved in veterans' rights and things like that. So
right.
It's a shame.
Another big guy in New Jersey, Chris Christie, has said that the flags will fly at half mast in New Jersey because that's where he's from.
Yep.
James Gandolfini.
Gandolfini, yeah.
Yeah, so, our hat's off to James Gandolfini's family and wish them all the best during this lost period. 215-263-1003. What else is going on in the world?
Well, we have a
David.
Today is a triathlon in Philadelphia. You know, I
know. I was going to be performing, but I pulled a hamstring last night.
What's it? A 26-mile run.
Easy.
15-mile swim in the Schuylkill.
Yeah.
And then a bike ride of 50 miles or something.
Did you say a 15-mile swim in the Schuylkill?
I think it's not 15. It's probably.
You have to be doing like circles for a couple.
No,
times.
It's not 15. It's probably. I think the swim is 3 or 4 miles. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what a triathlon is. But I actually heard an interview with one of the triathletes, and he said that he's been doing this for a long time, and the Schuylkill gets a bad rap, that it's actually been cleaned up, and it's a great body of water to swim in, which I found unbelievable. I thought it was always a
poopy
swamp, Yeah, poopy.
It's a poopy place. All right, let's talk to Chester. Hey, Chester from Drexel Hill, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
All right, you have a question. We might just have an answer.
Yes. My wife leased a 2012 BMW, and after leasing that, the vehicle has been sitting for 2 months, and she's still paying on this vehicle, but she had lost the sight. So I just want to know, is it any problem with her turning that vehicle back in without any repercussion or anything?
There will be repercussions.
There's always repercussions.
Yeah, unfortunately, the contract is not void or voidable because your wife has lost her sight, and regardless of how long the vehicle has sat there. However, usually, there's going to be there's going to be financial repercussions, but the sooner you turn it in, the sooner they can resell it, the sooner they can apply that money towards what you owe. What they're going to do is they're going to, in essence, they're going to sell the vehicle. Let's say you have a lease for $200 a month for the next 5 years. So that's whatever, $12,000 worth of lease payments. They're going to sell the car today. If they sell it for $10,000 today, then they're going to come back to you for that other $2,000. They're going to say, okay, we're going to apply the $10,000 against your contract payments, and then you owe us $2,000. That's the way it works. So it's going to save you. I mean, you're not going to pay 5 years worth of payments,
right?
But there will be some repercussions. And no, they're probably not going to take into consideration the what's befallen your poor wife.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the sooner you get it returned, the sooner this process can begin.
Absolutely.
All right. Chester, thanks for calling Core Radio, and have a blessed Sunday.
You too. God bless you.
All right. 215-263-1003. Just that easy. You get a call in, you get an answer. Bada boom, bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boo.
In honor of
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini, yeah. How many of those scenes outside the pork place, you know, where they were standing around? I mean, it changed television for the better, I think, you know.
Well, it was one of the, wasn't it really like the first major HBO, really defined HBO as a premier place to have these kinds of miniseries that are
it might have
stellar,
been,
you know?
If it wasn't the first, one of the first, where the story moved from episode to episode and you had character development as opposed to a, like, frozen in time and there's just a new story each week.
Right, right.
This really serialized
TV. It's almost
TV.
Like a miniseries, right. But it was a series television. Yeah, you're right.
All right, let's talk to Robin. Robin.
Hi.
Hey, Robin, what's your question?
In April, I'm moving. I had a big yard sale. A friend of the family bought a whole bunch of furniture, gave him good prices, amounted to $1,500. And he's supposed to, we wrote out something, and every time he paid me, he signed off on it. He paid about $240, but the past few months, I can't get a hold of him. He doesn't return my phone calls. He's never there. He's just not paying me.
And he has all the stuff.
A little bit of,
He has all the stuff, though, right?
He has everything.
Right.
Yes.
Your old Tupperware, you know.
Oh, no.
Furniture.
No, this is like a dining room, a china set, living room furniture, big furniture.
Okay. Well, so your question is what to do?
Yeah, what's my next recourse? And I've left messages and all that.
Okay, well, you know, I would say your only recourse at this point is, you have two things. You can write it off and say, well, I made a donation to
my family member.
Yeah, to the friend of the family.
We won't be doing that,
no. Okay, then go down to the 1300 block of Chestnut Street where you'll find the Philadelphia Municipal Court, and they have jurisdiction over matters that are smaller, and one of the city employees behind the desk for first filing, where, you know, the complaint starts, will help you fill it out. They'll ask for his name and address and what he owes you and what, you know, how much you want and why. And you say, I have a contract and he's failed to make payments and he owes me whatever, $1,300. And then you'll get that plus your court costs when the day comes when you go to court. If he doesn't show, you're going to get what's called a default judgment. The judge will enter the amount you ask for plus your costs. Okay, so make sure you ask for the right amount. And if he does show up, well, I find that hard to believe, but if he does show up, you're going to show all the payments he made, tell your story, and the judge will decide in your favor. I mean, I can't imagine why they wouldn't. And then you're going to have a judgment. But just understand
that's the problem.
That's the beginning, okay? The judgment means that you have a piece of paper that says legally he owes you. But now if you want to collect that judgment, there's more steps to be taken and more calls to be made to Court Radio. So get back to us once you have your judgment. I'd love to hear how things go.
Thanks so much.
All right, Robin, be well, and thanks for calling and listening to Court Radio.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
215-263-1003. I'm getting the nod from Kyle. I'm doing a good job. He's attaboy in me. He's giving me this Tony Soprano.
He liked that answer.
Yeah. No, he just likes that we're moving people.
We're moving.
We're like selling burgers, you know, in and out.
Moving along.
You know, in they come with Larry, out they go with us, David. And in between is Kyle. It's like a big burger factory. 215-263-1003. This is Court Radio, and we talk about legal things and things in Philly generally. Okay, let's talk to Bob. Is Bob a real name? Bob, is that a real name?
Yeah, my name is Bob.
Okay, okay. So sometimes we think Bob might be one of those fake names people give themselves.
It's like anonymous, but with a name.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Did they call you Bob or Robert? Or were you born with Robert? And
no,
you...
it's Bob, B-O-B.
B-O-B, from the beginning. All right.
Good.
There you go. Bob, what's your question?
All right, well, my neighbor, right?
Yeah.
He hit his sister the other day.
He what did his sister?
hit his sister.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they're older. They're like 50, 40.
Ooh.
All right.
And
that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. And the cops came, and he told the cops that she hit him first. There was no marks on her or anything, but I guess he did hit her because she said he did.
Okay.
How come he didn't get, like, how come he didn't have to leave in cuffs if he hit a female?
Well, that's a
they
good
said
question.
Getting a protection order or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Well, go ahead, that David. Is, okay, you want me to tackle this one? That is a good question. I would suspect the reason why is that there wasn't any really good evidence for the police to sink their teeth into to arrest him. Now, even if she had a bruise, maybe by the what she was saying and what he was saying, they really couldn't make heads or tails of it. Because that's my usually they're very quick to arrest in I guess what's called a domestic dispute. So I would think here they just didn't think there was enough evidence. But the protection from abuse thing is really the only thing after that that's going to quote unquote protect her, which is I guess they live together. Is that
yeah?
That's going to be tough because the protection from abuse usually says you have to stay away from the person and
somebody's
going to
have to leave.
Someone's going to have to leave if she wants to file that. The protection from abuse will be granted even if he wasn't arrested. Because her allegations will be enough, I think, for a judge to order that. Probably a dual one. You stay away from him. You stay away from her. You can't come within 25 yards, you know, that kind of thing. But the simple answer to your question is the police probably either just didn't feel like it, which I hate to say, but more likely they just didn't have enough evidence to substantiate an arrest. Which I agree with you is a little unusual.
I was even out there telling the cop, I'm like,
"Oh, you saw it?
It was illegal to hit women."
Did you see him hit her?
No, but she wouldn't lie. I know she wouldn't lie.
Well, yeah, but you know, they didn't see it, and they have to really go by what's provable. They can't just.
And her son saw it. There was evidence. Like there was people that saw it. But.
I think that you know what. Sometimes, if this was the first time
right.
that they were called to that house, she does not have any. Of physical injuries, physical evidence of injuries. She's not bleeding. She's not bruised. Nothing's broken. Yeah. I think maybe they're going to give, like a kind of one benefit of the doubt type of response and say, you know what, if you really want to be, you know, get him out of here, go down to this courtroom and you'll get a temporary order and bring us that temporary order because you both have rights to be in the house. Give us that temporary order and we'll take him out of here. She has to make the next move, you know, to pursue him being prosecuted if in some fashion. And if she doesn't, then, you know, they're not going to get involved. But maybe if they have to come back again or if there's real evidence of injury, then they would probably have taken him out of there right away. But thanks, Bob, for giving us a call and for listening to Court Radio.
All right, man.
215-263-1003. Guess what, David?
What?
An all-female jury is trying George Zimmerman.
That's right.
Isn't that a little strange?
That is very strange. How did that happen, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
We know how it happened. We don't know why, but the attorneys, you know, got rid of people. They only get a set number of people they can get rid of, but they got rid of enough people that it just turned out that it's an all-female jury. And I wonder, what do you think the implication is of that, though? I really don't know if that's going to matter at all. In anything, I mean,
right?
Is well, it? I mean,
no, I don't know. I mean, no, I'm not a jury consultant, and I really haven't given that much thought. But their moms, you know, Trayvon was a young man, you know,
a son,
still.
But so Zimmerman, you know.
Yeah, he is, but he's a gun-toting man, you know, with a kind of a angry racist bent to him.
Couldn't one of the mothers, let's say,
have given birth to an angry,
gun-toting
racist?
He's keeping the community safe. I want my son to do that too. You know, that kind of thing.
I
can't expect everybody to be
right.
You know, thinking he's a gun-toting racist.
No, but they're all going to have sympathy for Trayvon.
Yeah, well, sure.
And I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. I don't know that it has an effect, like you said. There's probably a mixture of people on the jury, but it is all female.
Yeah, right. And I guess we can segue. Speaking of quote-unquote racists,
yes.
You don't know anything about the story, which I find unbelievable. You must live in a hole. But Paula Deen, who is a very popular food, Southern cooking diva.
Is she a racist?
Well, look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't understand this. This is another, in my opinion, product of our media culture and the media blowing something into proportions that affect someone negatively. She's being sued. Her company is being sued by somebody who's alleging racist environment. You know, there were some racial things said to her and so on and so forth. So she was deposed. And in the deposition, the attorney asked her, have you ever used the N-word? Ever? Her answer now, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I'm going to give you the accurate answer, was, well, in the past, you know, many, 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 many moons ago, I probably did use it. You know, I don't use it now, but it probably came out of my mouth. And, you know, I'm a Southern woman. I lived in the South. And back, you know, during the time, a lot of people used it. But I'm not condoning it to. But, well, just the fact that she said she used it, boom, the gauntlet came down. I mean, you have no idea. The media jumped on it. She's a racist. She said the N-word, and they fired her from the Food Network. They're not renewing her network. They're not renewing her contract. She's done. That's it. Bing, bam, boom. You're gone.
Again, not knowing Paula Deen, not knowing any of. This is what I know about Paula Deen.
She said one more
Deen.
Thing that
she's a heavyset Southern woman.
Well, that was the controversy.
Likes to cook with butter.
That was that was her first controversy.
She was almost fired.
She got
over
diabetes.
That.
Well, because right. she had diabetes, and she said one other thing that I think got her fired. Here's what she said, and you'll appreciate this one. And this I just said she's dumb. She said in furtherance of that answer in the deposition, she said, "My husband and I would frequent a restaurant." She goes, I'll give you an example. She goes, my husband and I frequent a restaurant now in the South, and it has only elderly black gentlemen as the servers. And they're in bow ties. And she goes, and that's the traditional Southern feel that we like. And really, you know, she's saying like they're slaves. Like, you know, this is the slaves is what she's talking about.
Plantation owner.
Exactly.
Paula Deen, the plantation
well,
owner.
Well, that's kind of what she was alluding to. And people took that
she
to mean this is
to
what
be
she wants.
Fired.
This is what she wants is what they're saying.
But I think she just likes her and her whole family. I think that and all of these freaks on reality TV and food is really
right.
just an adjunct of reality TV.
Sure.
All of these freaks, I'll call them freaks, yeah. want the attention because that puts them back in front of a camera. I mean, her kids now have food shows, I think. You know, they're like, we're not as fat as mama, so we're going to have the healthy Southern cooking food.
Right, right,
and so,
exactly.
You know, they're all beating each other down just so that they can take their freak show into TV land.
But here's
land.
The legal aspect that I find interesting, is you and I both well know, Deen. She's been on TV a long time, and she's been doing a lot of cooking things. This kind of thing never came out. The diabetes thing came out, of course, but where does it come out? In a deposition. Why? Because as savvy as she may be as a business person, you know as well as I do, we've deposed a lot of people. When you're in that room and you swear to tell the truth and the lawyers are around and the videotape and whatever, things kind of go awry. You know, you're the true self comes out. The answers, you know, come out.
Absolutely.
And she answered truthfully. And, you know, unfortunately,
well,
for
no.
her.
I mean, look, the full story will come out eventually. But she's had her time in the show, in the spotlight. She's made enough money. Take her, you know, take her fat butt.
I think they may have jumped the gun a tiny bit by just throwing her out there. But
probably not.
She made a lot of money for them.
She's made a lot of money. She's from the South. It's enough. 215-263-1003. We're going to come right back, David.
Okay.
Where we're going to hit our topic for today, which we've been avoiding like the plague.
Yes, we will mention it.
We will hit our topic for today in 2 minutes, folks. Come on back with us. We'll be here for you.
2 and 2.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
I want that voice. Old school. I mean, I can't even do that voice.
Old school.
I mean, that guy's got a good voice.
Okay. Explosions. Bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada. Remember that episode where they're in, where Paulie and the other guy,
Paulie Walnuts,
and the Michael, I think his name or whatever his name was, they were in the Russian. They were going after the two Russian gentlemen in the winter in the snow. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, the funniest.
No. But you know what? I think I'm going to do a start from the beginning of The Sopranos and work my way through all 105 episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
It was. All right. Well, listen, we got callers. We're going to get to them. Folks, yes. Just stay on the line. We're going to jump in a second. But I want to talk about what I want to talk about.
And we got to talk about it. We can't talk about it enough, obviously, as you'll see why.
I've had three new cases this week, David.
Okay.
My clients were catastrophically injured. In fact, one I visited at Hospital University of Pennsylvania. And okay. She was medevaced from the scene of the accident. She was a pedestrian struck by a car on the boulevard. You know, they put these new traffic, these pedestrian walkways and traffic lights in between like Tyson and Cotman on the boulevard at Friendship Street.
All six lanes, right?
Like. Right. And so pedestrians get to walk across and they have their own traffic light. So traffic stops in an area where they're not used to stopping and, in a high speed area. And this woman got nailed by a car.
Oof.
She was medevaced by helicopter from the scene of the accident to the hospital, University of Pennsylvania. You know she's bad.
Yeah.
The medevac trip, the helicopter trip, was $18,000.
I believe it.
$18,000 from...
It's crazy, but I believe it.
From Northeast Philly to West Philly. Okay. And of course, she's in the hospital. She's got two fractured legs, a fractured pelvis. The list goes on and on. And she's out of work, obviously.
Yeah.
She really depends upon her salary. You just couldn't imagine a worse scenario, either medically or financially. And the question is that I had for her was, do you have insurance at home? Now, folks, you're listening right now and you're saying, well, Dean, why? Why does this woman need insurance at home? Well, because she has...
You mean car insurance.
Car insurance.
Yeah.
She owns, or her husband, her family, her children, her husband owns two vehicles in her household.
Okay.
So I said, do you have insurance on them? Yes. We have good coverage, was the answer.
Full coverage, I usually say, right?
So I checked the policies out, and they do have good coverage on liability. If they hurt somebody, their policy will pay up to $100,000 to the injured party that they've hurt. But the insurance that she needs, what's it called, David?
uninsured and underinsured motorist car.
Right. Uninsured? Insured?
Zero.
Exactly.
She didn't have it.
You're learning.
Yes.
It is not a mandatory coverage. You must demand it from your agent. Uninsured and underinsured motorist, and get as much as you can afford.
Yeah.
Because God forbid, if you're injured in an accident like my new client, then if you have uninsured and underinsured, you don't care to a certain extent what the tortfeasor or the negligent party yeah, has.
Chances are the bumblehead, I'm going to go further in your scenario, I don't know anything about it, but chances are the bumblehead who hit her had either no insurance or the minimal amount in Pennsylvania, which is $15,000. And $15,000 doesn't even cover her helicopter trip, let alone all of her injuries, her lost wages, and everything else she's going to go through.
Exactly.
And that's all she can get, right?
That's it.
$15,000.
If he has insurance.
Right.
And we don't know that yet because we're waiting on the police report. It's taking longer than normal because there's a lot, you know, involved in a catastrophic loss. And so when we get the police report, it will contain his or her insurance information, and we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed for our client. But the point is, you don't need to depend upon some stranger having insurance, okay, enough insurance.
And by the way, getting uninsured and underinsured coverage does not prohibitively raise your rate. It's really not that much money. Over the course of a year, it might be $300, right? Or something like
that.
Which isn't that much when you think of the cost of not having it. I mean, really.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And look, we live in a city where a lot of people are going to have the minimal coverage or nothing. So you need this coverage.
And people all the time take that chance. And I guess they go, listen, I have had insurance for seven years, and I've never had an accident. Right. So I've saved that $300 times 7 years, David. I saved $2,000. Mm-hmm. I'm smart. Mm-hmm. Smart, smart, smart. Smart until you walk outside and you get run over by a car and it happens and you can't plan for it. That's why it's insurance.
Right. Right, so, that's why you need it.
You know,
when you don't think you need it.
Folks, pull out your policies today. Do yourself a favor and do your family a favor. Pull your policies out and make sure you have uninsured and underinsured motorist bodily injury protection and get as much as. Imagine yourself in a catastrophic accident tomorrow and say, is that enough coverage? Am I going to have enough to replace my salary, to pay the medical expenses, to pay for my pain and suffering? Am I going to have enough to get compensated? And if you're not, then tomorrow morning, call your insurance agent and get more.
Yeah, everyone thinks that just because they would be, quote unquote, the victim, they didn't have anything to do with it, that they're going to be able to recover everything from the person who caused the injury to them. And that is so untrue, in particular with car accidents, because we have laws that prohibit or put, you know, limits on what you can get, and people don't buy the insurance and so on and so forth. And you can only get what's there.
And as my mother would say, you can't get blood from a stone.
Well, you can get, like the other caller you mentioned, you'll get a judgment against the driver for $1.5 million.
And you can put that judgment up on the wall in a frame.
And stare at it.
And look at it. Let's talk to Belinda from West Philly. Good morning, Belinda, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
So
I wanted to talk about, I had been a malpractice suit. I was in, can I say the hospital name?
You can say whatever you want, baby.
Okay, I was in Lincoln Hall Hospital.
Okay.
And I kept having panic attacks.
Uh-huh.
So they did this procedure on me to stop me from having panic attacks. When they did the procedure, I was almost like left in a vegetable state. Right now I have total nerve damage. I don't think I said that right. But anyway, I can't hardly walk.
Okay, how long ago did this happen, Belinda?
This happened last year, coming into this year.
What does that mean?
That means that it happened like, say, in December.
Ah, okay. So December of 12. Okay.
Right.
And have you contacted an attorney before now and had your case reviewed?
Well, I talked to an attorney, But he had first initially said I didn't have a case. So I called him back because at first my husband called him, and I don't know what kind of conversation they had for him to determine that I had no case against the hospital. But when I got a little bit better, because I was left in a more like a vegetable state, I didn't know anybody. I couldn't walk. I didn't wake up for a couple of days. They put me in
Belinda, what was the procedure they did?
I don't remember the name of it. My doctor told me the name of it here recently because nobody told me why I couldn't walk. They just sent me over to a rehab. And nobody never explained. They said it's only going to be for a couple of months and you'll be back to normal. And they said, I can barely stretch my legs out. I can barely walk. I need somebody to help me up a curve.
Okay. So here's what you need to have happen. Okay. First of all, let me at least tell you that there's a 2-year statute of limitations. Okay. So you have to do something in the investigation of your potential claim as soon as possible because you have 2 years. So you're going to have, if this happened in December of 12, you're going to have until December of 14. So you have, you know, maybe about a year and a half before you're out of luck and you're not going to be able to do anything. So the first thing you're going to have to do is get your medical records from Lankenau Hospital. You can request those from the medical records department of Lankenau Hospital and have them, all of your medical records, in hand when you contact an attorney the next time and say, can you have somebody look at these medical records? That'll be very helpful to you. So you should, this week, start the process of getting your medical records. Got it?
Right.
And you know, then somebody can review it, because in Pennsylvania, in order to bring a medical malpractice lawsuit, the law has been changed, and we now must get another doctor who signs off on something called a certificate of merit, okay? And that says that that new doctor who reviewed your records swears and affirms that he or she makes an opinion that the original doctor or hospital was negligent and their negligence caused you harm. If you don't have that certificate, if some doctor doesn't point the finger at another doctor and say they messed up, then you can't bring a complaint. You can't bring a lawsuit. You're not allowed to go to court. So you have to have that. And the only way one doctor can possibly figure out whether another doctor has done something wrong is to review your medical records.
Okay.
All right. So get a copy of your medical records. It doesn't help the fact that this potential medical malpractice case occurred in Montgomery County at Lankenau Hospital, and that's good that you told us that, because Montgomery County is a horrible, horrible place to bring a lawsuit for an injured person. I mean, it's just a known fact that the juries in Montgomery County have no sympathy and cannot really put themselves into the shoes of the injured party with the same ease as a Philadelphia jury or even a Delaware County jury. Montgomery County has it's a bad, bad place for medical malpractice especially. They love their doctors. They think they can do no wrong, and they can't really sympathize with injured people. That, unfortunately, is a prejudice that you're going to have to overcome. And what happens because of that, Belinda, as a practical matter, is that attorneys want cases in Montgomery County that are they're the best cases possible. Like it's unquestionable, undeniable that whatever the doctor did was wrong and he caused a horrific injury. Anything short of that, and, you know, Montgomery County juries give doctors the benefit of the doubt. That's the reality. So you're going to have a strong case, get your medical records, and get back in touch with an attorney and have them reviewed.
Oh, thank you very much.
See you, Belinda, and have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right. Well, you know, we had a caller. I don't know what happened. We got disconnected, but she was really, really angry.
Oh, she did. Oh, darn.
Don't
say we.
That I took a shot at Paula Deen's
weight. Mentioned fat and the butter and all that. But I would just say to Donna, have you not been listening to Chris Christie remarks that Dean's been making? Because he started on that fat thing a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, because I think overweightness is the next smoking. It is a disease, okay, caller. I don't know the caller's name.
Donna, I think.
Donna. It is a disease. I think it's a form of addiction. And I think that, when we go through life, and I struggle with my weight as well. When we go through life overweight, we have health problems that healthy people don't have. And we create a draw on our medical, society, the medical whatever. But
there are some people, though.
I was just angry at Paula Deen, and I took a shot, and I apologize, Donna. And you're right. I shouldn't have taken that shot. But, people like her, people who I think are ignorant and who are, like, I kind of think that Paula Deen is a racist. People like that really kind of make me angry, and I took a shot at her. So there you go. That's as good as apology you're going to get on a Sunday morning from Dean Weitzman.
There are people, and I agree with you about the obesity problem, and a lot of it is caused by, quote-unquote, you can call it addiction, you can call it whatever you want, just people not going out of their way to be healthy. But there are a segment of society where it is genetic. I mean, it's known scientifically that there is a genetic aspect. With everyone.
Listen, my little friend.
Yes.
Addiction is genetic. It isn't all will. It isn't all, I just want to go have a donut. It's, you're filling up that void inside of yourself with the donut. Well, not everybody has the void. Like, look at our healthy specimen of Kyle here.
But
there's no void in this man. He knows he's good.
Are you saying that some people
need a donut to feel good?
Are you saying that and I'm not the majority, some, a little segment, are just born with the physically, there's no way they are going to be, 100, if they're 5'7", 165 pound, the optimal weight.
Right.
It's just they're born,
I'm sure there are. I'm not a doctor, but that makes sense.
But it's not, I agree with you, not the majority,
Thank you. If I get any agreement from you on Sunday morning, I feel like it's been a success.
I can't believe you apologized, Donna. You should feel vindicated a little bit because you did apologize.
Right. And Donna, if you call back and give us your name and address, we'll send you a My Philly Lawyer gift pack.
Now he's bribing her. Now he goes, he resorted to bribes. Okay, that's right.
You can walk around and say, listen, Dean Weitzman apologized to me. I'm wearing his hat. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio. 215, he's shaking his head, folks. 263-1003. Let's talk to Charles has girlfriend problems. Let's talk to Charles. Charles!
Hello, good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Charles. Welcome to Court Radio. Where are you from, sir?
Philadelphia.
Where in Philly?
West Philadelphia.
Okay. Are you originally from Philly?
No, originally from Africa.
Africa. See, it didn't sound like West Philly to me, but okay, West Indies, the West African coast. Okay, so what, Charles, what happened to you?
So, married to this girl for 12 years. I have two girls together, and bought a house, put her name on it, but now she wants to walk away. What could she come to me? I mean, what are her rights? She come to me for child support, get a house for me. What is the legal thing?
Okay, so you never got married.
Yeah.
But the house 12 years ago was put in both of your names.
Yes.
And was that when you bought the house, like right off the bat, or did you have the house before?
The house 3 years ago. Bought it 3 years ago.
You bought it how long ago?
3 years.
3 years before you two put it in both names?
No, just 3 years ago. Been together 12 years.
Okay. You bought the house three years ago. And when you bought it in both your names?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a child together?
Yeah.
And the child's how old?
10 years old.
10 years old. Okay. And
we got it.
So I'm going to leave this to David because, he's in a similar circumstance.
I am?
No, but you have a house with...
I want to sue you for defamation.
You have a house with somebody who's not legally your spouse, but the house is in both your names.
Okay, well...
So that part.
Here you go. Here's the quick answer. First of all, that makes very little difference in that you bought it together. So any value to that house would be split. Unless you can show like you bought it with all your money, she's going to be entitled to her share of that property and what she put into it and what it's worth, that kind of thing. That's number one. Number two, again, now because you're not married, if you can show that you put all of your money into it to buy it and all of your money to pay the mortgage and that kind of stuff, she might not be entitled to very much. Because you're not married. When you're married, there are certain rights that attach, and here they don't attach. So that's with the
property. I have a question, David. Yes. I have a question. But what about the fact that she could argue it was a gift? You know?
Well, sure. Of course.
So isn't – I mean, we're going to start, Charles, with the idea that she's getting half of everything in that that house is
that's
worth.
That's where it's going.
Yeah.
Of course.
So if the house is worth $100,000 and
– I thought I was going to answer this
question. I'm sorry. She's getting half of everything. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
All right. And with the child, of course, it doesn't matter whether you're married or not. You're the father of that child. You are responsible for supporting that child until the child reaches the age of 18. Or what we say, emancipation in the law. And maybe even further if there's school involved.
Not in Pennsylvania any longer.
Any longer, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that the other
The last time you did a domestic relations matter.
Yeah, which was 25 years ago.
Right.
But anyway, you are entitled to support that child. Now, the only time you wouldn't be is if you were actually the primary custodian. So if the child lived with you and you were paying for the rearing the child, then the other parent would be responsible to pay support.
Okay.
So that's how that works. You can't, that's a definite no matter what the situation is. Married, not married, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Right. But you want to do it and you want to do it right.
Yeah.
So I can't stress enough for the both of you to get to a lawyer and get this worked out and
break things evenly.
Yeah, and get it over with the right way and handle it appropriately. I mean, there may not be any equity in the house. Okay, right. It's all about equity, not about value. So, if you bought a house with very little down and the house doesn't really have much equity, if you sell the house tomorrow, how much cash will you walk away with? And after the sale and all the other things, how much will you actually walk away with? And that's what is called equity, and that's she's entitled to half of that.
Yeah, and if it's not a lot, you can keep the house, obviously, and just give her
but then get her name off of it.
Right,
because,
definitely.
If 15 years from now, you two have been broken up for 15 years and you never got her name off of the house, now the house really might have value, and now she's going to be entitled to half of something of value. So you have a very strong incentive to get to a lawyer and get her name off the deed.
Excellent point. We've said this before on the show. Don't just sit around. We have so many callers who call in. They're still married. They don't live together, but they're still married. All these things that they let go on for years and years. You do not want that her name on that property now. If you're split, get it off.
All right, Charles. Thanks for listening to Court Radio, man. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Charles from West Liberia. West Philly. 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003.
Yes. Who's up now?
Nobody, because we're going to take a quick break. Okay. 2 minutes for our sponsors. Folks, listen up, because these are the people who help bring Court Radio to you today. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Is that Jerry? That voice?
Yeah, who is that voice?
Larry? Larry? Not Larry.
Larry?
No. Larry's got the brains, not the voice. That's why he's over there. 215-263-1003. 263-1003. That gets you in. David?
Yes.
What did I want to say?
Something about insurance.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So I have a client, and I represent the estate of. He passed away in the accident.
Okay.
He was a bicyclist struck by a car. Folks, we also, in that instance, treat a bicyclist as a pedestrian. It's still an automobile accident. And we still ask the question to the bicyclist's family, do you have car insurance at home? And we got the same answer again.
Yes,
no,
but,
I don't. Yes, I have car insurance.
But no uninsured.
But no uninsured motorist. Okay, we were just looking for a policy to be legal. I mean, how many times have you heard that?
Yeah.
I said, well, all right, let me do this. I subpoenaed or requested the records from the insurance company of my own client.
Which you should.
By the way, the automobile that struck the bicycle was a motorcycle, and the motorcycle only had $15,000 of an insurance policy.
Gotcha.
And in fact, the motorcyclist and my client on the bicycle both perished in the accident.
Wow.
It was horrific. And the motorcyclist was at fault, and the motorcyclist only had a $15,000 policy, which his insurance company quickly offered to the family of the deceased.
Right.
Okay. Well, the deceased was an income earner. He supported two children and a wife, and he had a family. And what's $15,000? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well, there's never going to be enough money in this instance.
True.
Unless you're hit by a commercial vehicle. But nonetheless, just to show you what my Philly lawyer does, we called the family, we spoke to the family, we asked them about the insurance, they brought the policy, and the policy showed no uninsured, underinsured motorist. We wrote to the insurance company for our client, okay, to their own home policy, and demanded that they provide us with the waiver forms. When you give up the right for uninsured and underinsured motorists, you must sign waivers that say, I give it up, I don't want it, I want no uninsured, underinsured motorist. And it has to be signed and dated, and those waiver forms have to be written in a certain proper way, and they have to be signed by the first named insured. What does that mean? Well, if the policy is written husband and wife, okay, to Mr. and Mrs. Rappaport, David Rappaport and Cynthia Rappaport, okay? And so that's the way it's written, David first, then Cynthia. David is the only person who can sign the waiver forms legally. And in this instance, okay, in the family I represent, it was the wife who was the second named insured. She signed the waiver forms. It invalidated the waiver forms. I made the insurance company give this family coverage that they had not bought, but they were entitled to under the law. And so it's important that you take every step necessary when you're representing folks who depend upon you and they don't understand the system.
Now, here's the interesting question I have.
Yes.
And I'm sure the listeners have. Okay, so the waiver form was improper. The law dictates a way to do it. They did it wrong, the insurance company, so they were forced to give that coverage.
Yes.
Underinsured motorist coverage.
Yes.
How much? Because you could get zero to infinite.
Well,
so what were they obliged to give?
They were obliged to give the same amount of uninsured motorist coverage as they had liability coverage.
So the
first coverage you buy on your policy is liability. That's to pay somebody else if you're negligent and you cause injuries. This family had a 50/100,000 liability policy with one car.
Okay.
So they were obliged to provide $50,000 in underinsured motorist. Hey, listen, the man lost his life.
Still
it's not enough, but it's $50,000 more than this family had. And if they had just taken for granted that they didn't have the UM coverage, that $50,000 would have stayed in the insurance company's coffers, and it would have done that family no good. So I'm proud to say that, you know, well, that's what we do. If you need us and we're not here on Court Radio, you can always get us at 215-227-2727. 227-2727. That's where we are 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, actually, because we have call centers all over the country handling the calls when we're not there, and we get right back to you. Let's talk to Paul from North Philly about insurance fraud. Hey, Paul, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
What do you got?
I was injured in an accident in 2011, and I had also got into another accident in 2012. They were kind of close, but they were 8 months apart, I guess. And the driver of the vehicle didn't have a license, and he was scared, you know, because I was going to call the police. And each time I tried to call the police, you know, he offered to compensate me. And the guy he was working for also, you know, wanted to compensate me, which never happened. So I took down the person's truck number, license plate number of the vehicle, and the owner of the house where he was working at. And later on down the road, I'm being sued for medical benefits and stuff like this because they're trying to say that some of the injuries are related or
okay.
a similarity or something.
Right. Well, that here we don't have a lot of time. We're gonna you know jump off after I give you this quick explanation, but I'm gonna do the best I can. When you have two accidents in close physical proximity to one another, and you have similar and overlapping injuries, you must be extraordinarily careful on how you describe those injuries and what you tell doctors about what your prior condition was and what your subsequent condition was, because accident one is only responsible for the injuries accident one caused. Accident two is only responsible for the new injuries or exacerbated injuries that they caused. And sometimes it's very difficult to tease out what was caused by what. But what you don't want to do is try and get paid for the same injuries by both one and two, because then that starts to sound like and smell like insurance fraud, like you're trying to game the system. And so I don't know what your medical record said before or after or whether there's any confusion, but that's what the enemy of an injured person is confusion, because it's your duty, your burden to prove your injuries, what was caused by which accident. So you have to be very careful about, you know, how you portray that, and you have to be clear. And that's why it's critically important to have an attorney involved in that process and doctors so that they can guide you through that. Because unfortunately, you know, you could say or do something which is harmful to your case or cases just, you know, without even thinking, unbeknownst to you, because you just don't understand the significance of that.
Yes, because like I was informed like where I was being treated at to, you know, not to worry about the case where I was being treated, and I seen an attorney, and no attorney was represented. There was no suit or anything brought against the person.
Yeah.
But yes, there. So,
well, like I said, there's a lot that I don't have because I don't have the records, but it's important to have good counsel during this time. Paul, I wish I could give you more information, but we got to go because Stephen Collins in Philly Speaks is coming up next. So Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Sunday. 215-263-1003. Folks, give E. Stephen Collins a call. He's waiting for you right after this break.